Okay, we're going to begin here on the top of Samach Vav and Aleph, continuing about 11 lines down on the daf. We're continuing the sugya that we left off with yesterday, which is that the Chachamim were searching for the reason that Mimachar HaShabbat does not literally mean Sunday, like the Baitusim, like the Tzdukim had suggested, but rather, Macharat HaShabbat really means Macharat Yom Tov, the day after Pesach. So up to the position of Rabbi Shimon Elazar. Shimon Elazar omer, Ketuv Echad omer, Sheshet Yamim Tochal Matzot. Ketuv Echad omer, Shivat Yamim Matzot Tochelo. So we have a steer on the Psukim. The Psukim in Dvarim tell us that you only eat Matzah for 6 days, whereas the Psukim in Shmot tell us that you eat Matzah for 7 days. So how do you reconcile between the fact that the Torah demands 6 days in one place and 7 days in the other place? HaKetzad, Matzah Shi Ata Yechol Ochla Shiva Min HaChadash, Ata Yechol Ochla Shisha Min HaChadash. That has to do with when you can eat matzah from chadash. From the new grain, you can eat matzah for 6 days. And that's because Mimacharat HaShabbat, the Omer comes on the day after Pesach. On that day, chadash is nitar. So for 6 days of Pesach, one can eat matzah from chadash. Whereas the requirement or the eating of matzah takes place for 7 days, but all of those 7 days cannot have the same type of matzah. All 7 days you can eat from the matzah hayashan, from the older stuff, but you cannot eat the matzah from the newer, the chadash, only for 6 days, not for all 7 days. The only way that will reconcile to have 6 and 7 days is if we say Mimarcha de Shabbat means the day after Yom Tov. That literally the day after Pesach, then that's when chadash is nitar. That can reconcile the psukim. Truthfully, the Gemara in other places uses this for a drasha to teach us that matzah is actually a reshut and not a chovah. The Gemara says, Ma yatsa, that yom echad, what's that one day missing? That one day missing is because that day is reshut, it's optional to eat matzah. So when it says, it invokes the principle of Rabbi Shmuel, that if one thing leaves the klal, ala klal klal kalo yatsa, that it comes to teach you about the entire klal, and that means that not only do you not have to eat matzah b'chovah for this one day, but all 7 days do not require matzah t'chovah. And from that we learn out that eating of matzah on Pesach is all a reshut. It's machloket in the Achronim, Mishonim, as to whether there's a mitzvah kumit. The Gra was a promoter of that idea that there's still a mitzvah kumit in consuming the matzah on Pesach, but nevertheless, it's a reshut. The reason on the first night of Pesach we have to eat it, the chovah, is because of another pasuk, Berev Tochlu Matzot. Tosus mentions this other drush, and he says, well then, how do they get two drashot out of the same pasuk? He says, maybe, Tarte Shma Mina, maybe there are two things that you can learn out of the same pasuk, the 6 and 7 days, even though we have another drusha for it. So now the Gemara discusses the time period for starting of the Omer. It says, Mi Omer Yachem Tisperu, from the time that you bring the Omer, then you start to count. Yochol Yiktzor, sounds like you could be Kotzer, you can harvest it, Bi Avi, and bring it. Ve'matai Shir Tse Yispor, and whenever you want, you can start it. Meaning that, Mi Yom Aviyachem, after the day that you brought the Omer, whenever you feel like it, you can start counting. So Talmud Omar, they bring the Pasuk from Re'eh, which is quoted as the Pasuk of Sfira from Emor, and now they quote the Pasuk from Re'eh, which is, Mechel Chermesh Bakama Techel Dispor. That the beginning of the counting comes from the moment that you begin the harvesting process. So now Gemara says, well, I Mechel Chermesh, if I just had the Pasuk in Re'eh that tells me from the harvesting point, then I would have thought Techel Dispor Yochol Yiktzor V'Yispor. I could harvest whenever I want and start the counting. And then whenever I want, I'll bring the carbon omer. There's no connection between them. So then I have Yom Aviyachem. So the consonants between Yom Aviyachem and Mechel Chermesh Bekama teaches me, number one, that I start counting from the time that I harvest. But also means that the time that I harvest, I must bring it right away. Because I have to have the two be reconciled. It has to be the time that I harvest, I start counting. That also has to be Miyom HaViyachem. So now the Gemara says, well, Miyom HaViyachem, if I just had these two sukim to think about, Yochol Yiktzor, maybe you'll harvest, V'yispor V'yavi B'yom. It should all be done during the daytime. So Tamal Omar, Sheva Shabbatot Timot Yen. It has to be full days. If you bring it in the daytime, you only have half a day and you can't count for full days. So how do you have Timimot? Timimot must be done at night. You can only have full days and full weeks. Only if you start counting at nighttime. So from that I would think, okay, if I have to make them all reconcile, I'll do the harvesting at night, I'll start the counting at night, I'll bring the Omer at night, I'll do everything at night, and then everything will be fine. It'll be Miyom Aviyachem, it'll also be Mehechel Chermesh Bekama, and it'll also be Tmimot. So then I can solve all the problems. The Gemara says, no, you can't do that, because Tamal Omer, Miyom Chaviyachem. That has to be on the day that you bring it, that the Omer is only brought during the daytime. HaKetzad, so how do I reconcile all of these? Tzira v'Sfira b'Laylo, I do the Tzirat Omer at night, and I begin the counting of Sfira at night. So that takes care of Mehechel Chermesh Bekama. and also takes care of the aspect of Tmimot. On the other hand, when it comes to the Miyoma Viachem, when it comes to bringing up the Minchat Omer itself, that we bring during the daytime. Now, wait, what about, it says Miyoma Viachem, how come that doesn't affect the Sfira, and how come that doesn't affect the Ktzira? So Rashi over here has a comment that Tzon Kodashim on the side, and the Besot Teshatz fixes it. He says that Aya Meyoma Viachem Ktiv, Lo Mishata Viachem. It doesn't say that you have to start counting from the time you bring the Omer, but rather from the day that you bring the Omer. Kevin Techashecha Mi Be'erev Yoma Viachemu. The night before is the day on which you're going to bring the Omer. But the requirement is not to count from the moment you bring the Omer, but rather from the day that you bring the Omer. So if you start counting at night, it will be Miyoma Viachem. It will be from the day that you bring the Omer. And that's how I reconcile all three of these. Hechel Chemesh Vekama means from the moment of Ktzira. The Ktzira we do at nighttime, and therefore I can start counting at night and I accomplish Tmimot. Miyoma Viachem says bring the Omer during the daytime, so I bring it during the day. But that is also accomplishes the fact that you start counting Miyoma Viachem from the day that you bring it, because we're starting on that date. Not the moment we bring it, but that day that we're going to bring the Omer. And therefore I can reconcile all three of these items, and that tells me when to begin the Sfira. So now Amar Rava. Rava says, Kulu idluhu pircha, that all of these proofs that the Chazal brought for Shabbat, they all have something that can upend them or ruin them. We discussed many of those problems while we were explaining each of the positions. The Gemara is going to go through them now. Bar mitrei tanai batrai. Except for the last two tanaim, ben b'matnita kamaita, ben b'matnita batraita. Whether it's in the first braita that we brought, or the second braita that we brought, the leidluhu pircha, that has no questions or we can't upend them. So now the Gemara is going to go through each of these items. Imi Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was the first person that we brought down. He was the one arguing with the Beit Tusim, and he said his proof was the fact that it says Tisbru Chamishim Yom, and it also says Sheva Shavuot. How can you have it that it's both Sheva Shavuot and Chamishim Yom? So well, it depends. If it starts on a Sunday, then it's Sheva Shabbatot Mimot. If it starts on the end of the day of the week, it's Tisbru Chamishim Yom. And that's how we reconcile, which is not true for the Tzukim, because they always start on a Sunday. Gemara says, how do you know? Maybe Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai is not correct in his understanding that there are two different manifestations of the mitzvah of Sfira. Maybe the reason that it says it twice is like Abaye, which Abaye says that there's a mitzvah to enumerate both the days and the weeks when it comes to the counting of the Sfira. And that'll be the solution to the Stira here. The Stira is not that it's two different manifestations, it's a single manifestation of the mitzvah, but you must accomplish it with counting of days and of weeks. So that'll ruin Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai's proof. Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yoshua were the next two in the Braita. Rabbi Elazar said, or learned it out from, it says, Tisparlach, Sfira Tuliyah Bebeitin. He quoted the Pasuk from Re'eh, and says Lach in the singular form, which sounds like it's Beitin that does it. We only need Beitin if it's talking about Yom Tov. And then Rabbi Yoshua brought the proof from, Torah says, Mine Yamim Vikidesh Chodesh. Mine Yamim Vikidesh Atzeret. So there, Ma Chodesh Samuch Lebiatoni Karaf Atzeret Samuch Lebiatoni Karet. So over there, we had this parallel in the type or the way in which Shavuot was determined to that of Rosh Chodesh. So Gemara says in both of these items, Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yeshua, Imaid b'Yom Tov Rishon Kai. How do you know we're talking about Yom Tov Rishon? Dilma b'Yom Tov Acharon. Maybe we're talking about the last day of Pesach. The qualifications that they need to accomplish what they're saying, it's true it has to be Yom Tov and not a Shabbos, but how do you know which Yom Tov? True, it's got to be near Pesach, but maybe it's Macharat Shabbat means Macharat Yom Tov Rishon, which is what they were claiming, but maybe it also means Macharat Yom Tov Acharon, because that you'll need a Beitin to set, and you'll have this idea of Mnei Yomim Vikidesh Samuch Lebiato, because you'll know where when it comes out. You always know that it's 50 days after the time of Yom Tov Acharon. So how do you know it's talking about Yom Tov Rishon? That's the question on them. Dir Rabbi Yishmael, Uver Rabbi Yehuda Ben Beteira, Leit Lehu Pircha. So when it comes to, at this point, who were the next memrot? One was Rabbi Yishmael, who said, Torah Havei Omer V'Pesach, Chushtei Alechem Be'atzeret. Just like Be'atzeret, it's the beginning of the Regel, so to over here, it's going to be the beginning of the Regel. And Rabbi Yehuda Ben Beteira suggested just the Shabbat. It says Shabbat below, meaning at the end of the sphere, it says, Meyom Aviyachem et Omer Tvua Sheva Shabbatot Mot Yonah Macharat HaShabbat HaShvit. So the second Shabbat is definitely talking about Yom Tov. So the first Shabbat also must be talking about Yom Tov, Leit Lehu Pircha. Those two Memrot don't have a question on them. Now, Imid Rabbi Yossi B'Rabbi Yehuda, for the name of Rabbi Yossi B'Rabbi Yehuda, who brought down the position that it says Tisbru Chamishim Yom, that every Sfira must be 50 days. And therefore he claims, based on the Tzedukim, if the manner when you started in Pesach could be 52 days, 54 days, 55, 56 days, because if you always count from the second day of Pesach, it won't always be 50 days, because it'll start at a different time. So the easy answer to that is, Hava Mina Dilma Chamishim the Bar Mehani Shita. The 50 days we're talking about are not from the second day of Pesach, we're from the day that you start counting. And according to the Tzedukim, it'll always be 50 days from the day you're counting. Who says you have to talk about the second day? You're assuming that Mecharshah means Yom Tov, and therefore it means 56 days. But that's not true. It can mean 50 days from the moment we start. True, it's 6 days into Pesach, but the 50 days will start to count from that moment. Even the Rabbi Yehuda ben Meteiro. Again, Rabbi Yehuda ben Meteiro says, Enu tzarich, Ari Omer tisparlach, Sfira tuliya bebeit din. He quotes the same idea of Yitzirah that has to be bebeit din. Yatzat shabat bereishit, Shisfirata b'chol adam. So that, Rabbi Tumi, Mai de Yom Tov Rishon Kaya, Demo Yom Tov Acharon. The same question that we asked before on Rabbi Eliezer, we're going to ask here, Rabbi Yehuda ben Meteiro, which is, how do you know it's talking about Yom Tov Rishon? It could be talking about Yom Tov Acharon. Rabbi Yossi, we had here Rabbi Yossi, Mimachra de Shabbat, he says, and happens to be probably the best proof that we have here, he says, how do you know what Shabbat you're talking about? Even if it's talking about, right, talking about Shabbat Breshit, how do you know which Shabbat during the year that you're talking about? It could be any of the Shabbatot during the year. Now true, it probably has some reference to Pesach, because it's found between Pesach and the holiday of Rosh Hashanah, so it has to be somewhere in that time frame, but it still doesn't define for you which exactly Shabbat it is. Then Rabbi Yossi said, in addition to that, Va'od, in addition to that, Tchilat Regel and Tchilat Regel. So now, Gemara says about that, Rabbi Yossi, Nami Chazi Le Pircha. Rabbi Yossi saw his own Pircha, and that's why he brought the second answer, Va'od. Behind it, the Kamar, Va'od, and that's why he added an additional answer, because he saw a Pircha. We don't know what that Pircha is. If he thinks it's a Pircha, then we can't accept his answer. Now, truthfully, the only Pircha you can have on his answer is that, true, it tells us it's not Shabbat, but it also doesn't tell us that it's Yom Tov. I mean, Rabbi Yossi's proof is good at showing that it can't be Shabbat, because otherwise, then we don't know when it is. But the other hand, it doesn't prove that it has to be Yom Tov. So that's why maybe they rejected Rabbi Yossi. So now, afterwards, then we have remaining in this, we have Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, and the second answer of Rabbi Yossi. So those two remain. So in the both Braitot, it's the latter two Tanaim, or latter two answers that we find in the Braitot, that will be upheld. With that, the Gemara ends. Just to add on, we had spoken before we started the Sugya about how do you really know that Shabbat is Yom Tov. Talked about the weaknesses of all the different Memrot that the Chamim are going to bring here. And we spoke about the fact that Ramban agrees that the strongest position here is that position of Rabbi Yossi, that it's Shabbat Breshit. It can't be, because then we wouldn't know when to do it, but it doesn't help you in the end because it doesn't tell you when Yom Tov is. But the Ramban says that's probably the strongest answer given. Two other alternatives, just to be aware of why it's called Shabbat. One is the Kuzari. The Kuzari has a very unusual position here. He says that Shabbat, Mimachar Shabbat, really means Shabbat Breshit. It means Shabbos. So what does that mean? It starts from Sunday and goes till Sunday. 7 weeks. How does he deal with the Memrot of Chazal? He says, the Torah does not tell you when to start. It just tells you an example of what 7 weeks are. It gives you one example of Sunday to Sunday. The Torah then does not define us when to start counting the 50 days. Chazal came along and were empowered to define for us when that is. Truthfully, it's Me'echel Chemesh Be'kama, when the Katsir starts. Then you'll bring the Omer, and then you'll start counting. So Kuzari says it was open whenever you start the Katsira. Some years will be early, some years will be late. Along came Chazal and says, the 16th of Nisan, that's the day when we will establish for being the day of Ketzirah and the day of the Omer. But that was given into the hands of Chazal to establish. But truthfully, me, Ikar Adin, from the Torah itself, we would not have known this. It's either a Mesorah to Chazal, or Chazal were empowered to decide that, and they made it the 16th of Nisan. But Ein Achanami, Pshat HaPsukim is like the Tzedukim, that Machar HaShabbat really means Sunday. And the Torah is just giving you one example of how it could fall out. Gives you the example when it starts on Sunday and ends on Sunday. That's how you count the 7 weeks. So that example we use no matter when it starts, but the example is given of Shabbat Breshit. Rav Shimshon Farhirsh also has a very interesting interpretation of Shabbat here. He says the word Shabbat here comes from Shvitat Aretz, the fact that you're not allowed to work the land. And that has to do with this Indian of Chadash. The Omer is Matir Chadosh, but it also has to be the first Tzira that is brought to be the Omer. You're not allowed to be Kotzer, you're not allowed to work the land and harvest until the Omer is brought. That requirement to desist from work until the Omer is brought is called Shabbat. And therefore, Rav Shimshon Farhirsh says, Mimacharat HaShabbat means from the day after you stop working the fields. I mean, the 15th of the Nisan is the last day you cannot work. You cannot do Ktzirah in the fields, because on the 16th, then you're going to bring the Omer, and that will be Matir. That will allow you to begin to eat Chadash, and that will allow you to end this Shvitat Haaretz, to end this stopping of the working the land, of the harvesting of the land. And therefore, he says, Mimachar the Shabbat doesn't mean Shabbat like Shabbat Breshit, but rather the day after you have Shvitat Haaretz, the day after you finish desisting from working the land. And that will be, if we bring the Omer on the 16th, the day after the 15th will be the day before, so the day after will be the 16th, and that's when you'll start counting the Omer. So that's Reb Shimshon Bar Yochai, the Kuzari, all their alternatives to explain the Shabbat and the Pasuk. Now we're going to move on to a description. The Gemara is going to discuss the position of Abaye, who says that you have a mitzvah to count days and weeks. From these next two lines, we saw yesterday's daf, we saw a Sfartam Lechem, Sfirah Lekolecha Ve'echad. That had major implications in Torah Sfirah. We talked about Shomei HaKohanim, we talked about the Chiv on Beitin versus on the Yachid. Over here, these next two lines of the Gemara, or all the other Torah and Sfirah, come from this, meaning that they are multitudes, harim, mountains of halachot that are based on sarot, on little lines here, a couple lines in the Gemara, and these next lines also have major implications. That is, gufa. Amar Abaye, mitzvah lemimne yomne, mitzvah lemimne shvoye. It's a mitzvah for sfira to count both days and weeks. Rabbanan de Beir Avashi, and the Rabbanan of the Beir Avashi actually were knowing that way. They were mane yomne, mane shvoye, they held like Abaye, and therefore they counted days and weeks. On the other hand, a Meimar said no. Mani yome velo mani shvuye. He counted days and not weeks. The Gemara completes or ends off with this statement. Amar, he said, zeicha lemikdash hu. To zeicha lemikdash, therefore I don't have to accomplish the mitzvah in its entirety. I can just do days and not weeks. The machloket harishonim, rov harishonim, including Rashi or Tosafot, and the majority of all Rishonim read the Zeicha lemikdash be'alma as referencing the entire statement that's been made until this point. Both Abaye and a Meimar believe that it's Zeicha LeMikdash Ba'alma. The mitzvah sphira today is only a din d'Rabbanan, not a din d'Oraita. It's a Zeicha LeMikdash. Why is that? Because it tells us, when do you start counting? Only after you bring the Omer can you count. That means that the counting is Talui, is dependent on the Omer itself. And if that's the case, if you don't have an Omer, you don't have a mitzvah midoraita to do Sfira. So based on that, most Rishonim believe that Sfira today is only a din d'rabbanan. It's not a din d'oraita, and it's basically Zeicha LeMikdash. The only argument here between Abaye and Meimar is how to do that Zeicha LeMikdash. Abaye says you do a Zeicha LeMikdash the way it was done d'oraita. Just like d'oraita, it's done days and weeks, so to over here, you do it days and weeks. A Meimar comes along and says, no, Zeicha LeMikdash, I don't have to do it its entirety. I only have to do the days and not the weeks. Zeicha LeMikdashu is just a Zeicha LeMikdash. But based on that, we're going to paskin like Abaye, and we're going to paskin like the Beir Rav Ashi, that they counted days and weeks, what we do today, but it'll still be a din d'rabbanan of Zeicha LeMikdash. On the other hand, the Rambam reads this Gemara totally different, and he says that Zeicha LeMikdash V'alma is only modifying a Meimar statement. Abaye believes that the din of counting the Sefira is d'oraita. That means the Mimne Yomne, the Mimne Shvuye. If you believe the din is d'oraita, you count days and you count weeks, and that's the din d'oraita. A Meimar says days and not weeks because he believes it's Zeicha LeMikdash. That's only a Meimar. Zeicha LeMikdash is only the position of a Meimar. It is not the position of Abaye. And therefore the din will be different. If you believe it's d'rabbanan Zeicha LeMikdash, the din is only to count days and not weeks. But if you believe it's d'oraita, therefore it'll be the mitzvah, according to Abaye, according to Beit Rav Ashi, count days and count weeks. And the Rambam paskins, like Abaye and Beit Rav Ashi, therefore, that the mitzvah Omer today is a din d'oraita. Obviously, there are major nafkaminot between whether it's d'oraita or d'rabbanan. One of those is actually brought down by Tosafot over here. Tosafot says, Nira, t'safek ha-sheikha yichol levarech. When it's ben ha-shmashot, you can make a bracha on the sfira. Vein tzarech lamtina chei vaday laylo. You don't have to wait until it's vaday laylo. Kevan shu tzveka d'rabbanan. It's only a din d'rabbanan. It's a tzveka d'rabbanan. We'll go to Kula. He'll allow you to count ben ha-shmashot, which obviously would not be true if he believed it was d'oraita. The Rambam believes that d'oraita cannot say that. Then Tosafot also says, maybe it's even better to count before it's nighttime, because then you get real tmimot. And over there, Tosfos rejects it. The other thing, which actually is very important, is the hini mukhan muzuman that is actually said before the people say the sfira. Many people say that. The wording of the hini mukhan muzuman says, mitzvah asei shekatuv b'torah, which isn't true according to 90% of the Rishonim. According to most Rishonim, it's only a mitzvah d'rabbanan. So how can one say mitzvah asei shekatuv b'torah? So good advice, it's an idea that I would suggest, is that if people do want to say the hini mukhan muzuman, and there are reasons to say it, because of the kviut at Svira. It's very important here by Svira and the Rav, we spoke about this, from Salvation, we spoke about this in yesterday's daf, the idea that it's not a din in Amira, it's a din in Svira. One has to be aware that they're counting, and it has to be focused on the counting. Maybe the bracha does that, but maybe the hini mukhan helps. So even though you don't say this hini mukhan by other mitzvah, maybe it is kedai to say it by Svira. But the best thing to do is actually skip the word asay. All you have to say is hini mukhan muzuan dekeim mitzvat svirat omer. Skip the word asay. Asay is a loaded word. Asay means an asay min a Torah. That's not what you want there. You want to say mitzvah, so Sfirat HaOmer, Kamo Shekatuv B'Torah, like it's written in the Torah. Now, Kamo Shekatuv B'Torah can either be because I'm doing a mitzvah Asayim in the Torah, that's what's written, or I'm doing it Zecher to what's written in the Torah. So if you just leave it out or eliminate the word Asay, you're making an ambiguous statement about whether it's Derabon or Doraita, but you can still say the Hini Chon Mezuman. I think I would suggest that to people, instead of saying mitzvah Asayim in the Torah, which would be very difficult since it's really a minority position. It's the position of the Rambam versus all the other Rishonim. So I would recommend not saying the word essay. The other thing that comes up with regards to this Deoraita and Derabanan is, Isfata Met asks a very basic question. Okay, it's Zeicha LeMikdash. Just because it's Zeicha LeMikdash, you do half the mitzvah? We have Mluvav that we take all 7 days. We don't do half a mitzvah because it's Zeicha LeMikdash. Why is it over here that all of a sudden a Meimer says do half a mitzvah when it comes to Zeicha LeMikdash? So the Sfat Emet actually suggests that maybe that difference relates to the fact that the two parshiot that have Sfira in them. There's Sfira mentioned in Emor, and there's Sfira that is mentioned in Parshat Re'eh. In Parshat Re'eh, where it has the Sfira, it says Mehechel Chermesh Bekama. Talks about from the beginning of the Ktzira, as we just saw in the Gemara. So that's from the beginning of the Ktzira. That doesn't have anything to do with the Korbanot to the Mikdash. Over there it says Shiva Shavot Tisparlach, count the weeks. So the weeks seem to have a counting or a dinin counting that's independent of the Korban, would be Doraita both Bezman and Mikdash and today. On the other hand, in Parshat Emor, where the days are mentioned, and it mentions weeks there as well, there it mentions the Omer itself. If that's the case, then you have the mitzvah that's connected to the Korban is the counting of the days. So therefore, when it came along, and a member wanted to say, let us do Zeicha the Mikdash, well, that doesn't mean don't count the weeks. The weeks you have to count, because that's Doraita all the time. The Zeicha the Mikdash is the Mimne Yomne. Just count the days, because the days are the aspect that are Midr Abonon. That's the only thing you need a Zeicha the Mikdash for. In the end, Sfat Emet backs away from it and he says, you know what? The word Hechel Mechermesh Bekama also means, what's the first Ktzira you do? That's the Ktzirat Omer. So it really means the Omer. There is a Rabbeinu Yerucham actually learns just the opposite. Learns the exact opposite of the Sfat Emet and says, no, that the days are Doraita, whereas the weeks are derabonon. The weeks are derabonon because Echel Mechemesh Bekama and Svartam Lechem, which from Mishmi Yom Abiyachem et Omer. Both of them are talking about the Omer and they're talking about the weeks. But the days are in the next Pasuk, and they're not necessarily connected to the weeks. And therefore, it's the days that are Doraita even when there's no Mikdash, and the weeks are derabonon. And the weeks are derabonon, or Zeichel Mikdash, when there is no Omer. Then I explained the position of a Meimar. He says that when he comes to Mimne Yome, Velom Nimne Shvuye, he says, I want you make a brocha and only make it on the yamim because that's the din doraita today. So you make it on yamim. Zeichel Mikdash. That's what Zeichel Mikdash. Since we have part of the mitzvah, we don't need the Zeichel Mikdash. So therefore, I don't have to count weeks anymore because that's all Zeichel Mikdash. And Abaye will say, count the days, count the weeks because I'll put it under one brocha. Yes, I'm counting the days doraita and I'm making a brocha on that, so I'll put in the Zeichel Mikdash there too. Meimer says no, the weeks are separate. There's Zeichel Mikdash. The days are the din doraita. So if it's Zeichel Mikdash v'alma, that's why I want you make a brocha on the days. That's the doraita mitzvah. The Rabbanan of Zeicha Mikdash, you say on that separately. Don't put it under the same bracha. So that's one issue that comes up from this din of the Rabbanan Doraita. The other issue is something that we just discussed, which is Tmimot. They must be full days. Tosfos here quotes the Bahag. The Bahag is a Shita that if you miss a day of the Omer, you may not then continue to count with a bracha. You can count without a bracha. But the Bahag also believes that if you don't count at night, you can count during the day without a bracha. Now, truthfully, according to the Bahag, you might even be able to count it during the day with a bracha. Armeneg is to count without a bracha to be choshesh v'shita tosvot. But what does the Bahag believe Tmimot mean? It's obvious that the Bahag means Tmimot means that you gotta go from beginning to end. Tmimot means you can't miss a day of counting. Well, the other possibility or description of what Tmimot are means that you must have a full day. A full day means you must count at night in order that it be a full day of counting. Well, that's what Tosfos thinks. Tosfos thinks that if you miss a day, you can keep counting afterwards. But they say when you want to count, you can only count at night. You miss the counting at night, you cannot count during the day because Tmimot demand that you count at night. So there are differences in opinion as to when or what the word Tmimot means impacts on their Shita. Tosfos believes Tmimot means you have to have a full day, then you can only count at night, not during the day. But if you miss a day, you can count the next day. Each day is an independent mitzvah, not a single mitzvah, because Tmimot only applies to each single day, not to the whole mitzvah as a whole. Whereas the Bahag believes, no, Tmimot is not about the day itself, it's about the completion of the entire Sfira. Therefore, you must count the entire Sfira in order to keep making a brocha. If you miss a day, you're not Tmimot anymore. You can't then make a brocha any longer. But on any given day, you can count any time in the day, because the Tmimot is on the whole mitzvah, not on each individual day. Each individual, you just to count, so you can count during the day. What we have is a pshara. What we do today, halacha, is something in between. We at night, if you make a bracha at night and you count the Omer, fine and good. If you forget to count the Omer at night, we allow you to count during the day without a bracha. Why? Because mimonov shach, you'll be okay. If according to the Bahag, that the din is that you can count during the day. You've counted during the day. Bahag also says if you miss a day, you can't keep counting, but you counted during the day, which the Bahag says fine, so you didn't miss a day. According to Tosafot, who says that counting during the day is meaningless, he also believes that when you miss a day, you can count the next day. So over here, well, you missed the night and you counted during the day. Okay, according to Tosafot, you missed the day. But he says you can continue to make a bracha the next night when you continue the next night. So we do it during the day without a bracha to be manafshach. We're choshish for Tosafot, who says during the day is no counting, so we don't make a bracha. We're choshish for the Bahag, who says day in the day is good, so we allow you to count and allow you to continue afterwards with the bracha based on shara between them. Obviously, according to the Bahag, you might even be able to make a bracha during the day. There are other achronim that try to say even the Bahag, l'shitato, would say you can't make a bracha during the day based on our Gemara that said the ikar sphira or ktsira is at night, but the haviyacha is during the day, and maybe that will allow you to do the sphira from the day. The other din that comes out of this is in cases of sofek in sphira, we allow you to keep counting because it automatically becomes a sfek sveka. The sfek sveka is we don't know if the din's like the Bahag or the din's like the Tosafot. If the din's like Bahag, you can't count anymore. But if the din is like Tosafot, you can keep counting. So now you have a sofek. Now I have another sefek. The person is not sure if they counted on that day. So if they're not sure if they counted on that day, now I have a sfek sveka. I don't know if I did or didn't count. I put that together with the fact that maybe the din's like Tosafot, maybe the din's like the Bahag, I have a sfek sveka. Because if I did count, Baruch Hashem, I'm good. If I didn't count, then even if I didn't count, maybe the halacha is like Tosafot. The Tosafot says you miss a day, you can keep counting. So anytime I have a sofek in Sfirat Omer, we make it into automatically a sfek sveka, and I allow you to continue counting the remainder of the Sfirah. Again, I put all these Mekorot together, yesterday's daf, today's daf, so you can get a feeling for all of these halachot and all the dinim that come out of these couple lines in the Gemara. Now the Mishnah is going to continue with the process of bringing the Omer. Mishnah says, Katsrua v'nadnua b'kubot. They harvested, they cut the sheaves that they were taking, the barley sheaves, and then they put them into baskets. Hevi'u'l'azara. Then they brought it to the azara. V'yam ha'vivim oto ba'or. Then they used to singe it with the fire. K'dei l'kayem bo mitzvat kali. According to Rabbi Meir, that's Divrei Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir believes that they actually fired it directly. They put the kernels directly into the fire to accomplish the mitzvah kali, which is im takriv mitchat bikurim, found in Vayikra Bet pasuk yudalet. Hashem aviv kalui ba'ish. Geres Carmel. That's a description of the Mincha Omer. He's trying to help for us here, this Kalui Beish. What's Kalui Beish? That you put it directly on the fire. Chamimim, no. What you do with it is first is you take kanim v'kluchot. You take soft branches or kluchot kelach, like the stem of the kruv, of the cabbage, and then you bang on them until they separate, the kernels separate out. Using these soft items, not hard sticks that you normally bang on them to break the sheaves and allow for the kernels to come out. Here you use something soft, so they'll come out but not crush, because they're very early stage and they're very soft. And then you place it into this copper utensil or copper pipe. It has holes all around it. What they do is they take this copper utensil that's full of holes, they place all the kernels in it, and then they put that into the fire. The holes allow the fire to get to the kernels themselves. Then, after they finish putting it through the fire, they spread them out in the azara, ruach minashevet bo, and the wind blows through the kernels, and that will dry them out. Then they brought them into the mill to mill them, but they use shel grusot. They use the thicker type of milling process. They don't use a very fine milling process, which crushes everything. They use a thicker, the bean type of milling process. And the reason they did that was because if you use a very fine milling process, that crushes everything. Then even when you sift, you're not going to get just solid. You're not just going to get flour, you're also going to get parts of the shell around it, because it's all been crushed into such small pieces. On the other hand, if you use the grusot, if you use the larger milling process, the wider milling process, which doesn't crush it entirely, but only somewhat, then when you go to sift it, the shell will still be intact and will not go through the sifting process. The only thing that will fall through is the kemach, or the solid that you're looking for. Then you would dig through this process of sifting it, you put it through 13 sifters, until you got down to an isaron, until you got the perfect isaron of solid that you wanted. Gemara will describe later on that they used to use one thick, one thin sifter in terms of getting it down to what they wanted. Vashar, whatever remains, nifte, is redeemed. V'nechal l'chol adam, anybody can purchase it from Hekdesh and eat it. V'chayav b'chala u'patur min ha-maser. It's chayav in chala and patur min ha-maser. The reason it's patur from maser is because the meruach was done in the hands of Hekdesh. So since the meruach was done in the hands of Hekdesh, that was a time that the chiyuv maser would have come, and it was in the hands of Hekdesh, therefore there's no chiyuv maser. On the other hand, the chiyuv of chala only starts when you're lash, when you need the dough. Chazal. That will be done in the hands of the Hedjot after it's redeemed. Therefore, it's going to be Chayav and Chala, even though it's Patur from Maaser. Rabbi Kiva, on the other hand, disagrees and says he's Mechayev, both Bechala and Maasrot. Tan Rabbanan, Aviv, Ze Aviv. Everybody agrees, what's Aviv? Aviv means the fresh, the earliest grains that come out. That's what the word Aviv means in the Pasuk. Then it says Kalui Beish. What do you do? What does it mean, Kalui Beish? So Malamech, Yusro, Mehavim Oto Beish, Kedei Lekayim Bo Mitzvat Kali, Divi Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says Kalui Beish means literally, put it into the fire, roast it in the fire. So you got to put it directly in the fire. Chamim Omrim, Chamim say. Now here the Girsa is a big mess. I'll read it, two different possibilities here of how to read it. Either Ein or Lashon Kali, Ela Davar Acher. When you say Kalu, that when you put it into the fire directly, that's not called Kali. That's not called roasted, but something else. It means something else totally. Ein Lashon Kali, Ela. What is the Lashon of Kali? A Davar Kalil. Something that is put through the Kalil. Kalil is this copper utensil that is used. Haketzad. And now the Gemara is going to explain how that happens. So the first way to read it, or the Girsa that I just read you, says that Rabbi Meir believes Kalui Be'esh means directly in the fire. The Chamim say that's true of the word Esh, but that's not true of the word Kali. Kali does not mean directly in the fire. Kali means in the Kalil. Kalil is this specific type of utensil. That's one way to read it. The other possibility is, the way to read this Gemara is, Ein or Lashon Kali, Ela Davar Acher. Kali is not, or the word Kali does not mean directly in the fire, but rather through another utensil. Haketzad. How is that possible? That you do it through something else? That is, and then you continue the Gemara. Haketzad, how you did this. So the two ways to read it are either the word Kali means through a different utensil, not directly in the fire, or the other way it is that the word Esh and the word Kali are defined differently, and Kali means using this Kliel, this type of Kli, whereas Esh means directly in the fire. Here it says Kalui Esh, you gotta use the Kliel. Now Gemara Seh explains, so how do you do this? Ketzad. How is this done? Avuv Shel Kliot, they brought this special type of utensil that's used by the sellers of barley, and it is a copper utensil, copper pipe with holes in it. Hayasham vaya mnukav kikavara. It had holes in it like a sifter. It has holes all around it. Kadeshia or shaletid bikulo. So that the ore, the fire, will take hold of all the kernels inside, and then we'll roast them. So now we explained Aviv. We explained what the word Aviv means. We also explained what the word Kalui means. Explain Aviv's got to be the first, the freshest, right out of the box. Then the Kalui means roasted. We had a machloket between Rav Meir and the Chachamim, what that meant. Now we have the next word in the pasuk is Giris, which is, it has to be Giris. Now Giris is a fine flour. Now any odea, im Aviv Kalui, im Giris Kalui. Now I don't know, when the pasuk says Kalui Ba'ish, I don't know which one it's referencing or it's modifying. Is it saying Aviv Kalui, that you take the fresh kernels and then you put them in the fire, you roast them in the fire? Or is it saying Aviv, take fresh kernels, and then Kalui Be'esh Giris, that you take the flour that's made from that and then you roast that flour? I don't know if we're roasting the flour or if we're roasting the kernels. The word Esh comes and makes a stop or breaks up the words that are used here. Therefore it means Aviv is the fresh kernels, Kalui Be'esh. The Kalui Be'esh is telling us that the Kalui is referencing back to the Aviv. That means that the kernels are the things that you roast in the fire. Then separately afterwards you'll mill them down and then you'll get Geris. You'll get Geris to the point where you get the flour. Now the Gemara says, well, the next word in the Pasuk is Carmel. So what do we do with this word Carmel? The word Carmel, they say, is Rach Umal, that the type of barley that you're going to use here is something that is rach, that is soft. Umal, mal from the word mililot, that you rub it in your fingers and the shell comes off very easily. So that's the type of barley that you're going to use here. V'cheinu omer. And now the Gemara is going to go into a sidetrack here, which is taking other examples of where we see words in the Torah that are really contractions of two other words. So over here, the Gemara is saying the word Carmel is actually a contraction of the word rach and mal. So that contraction tells us that the word is not really a word that means something by itself, but it's a contraction meaning two different things. So Gemara brings other examples of that from the Navi. V'cheinu omer, v'ish ba mibal shal isha, v'yaveh l'ish shalukim, lechem bikurim, esrim lechem sorim, there's no vav in the pasuk, esrim lechem sorim, v'karmel bitzikluno, v'yom retain la'am v'yochelu. So here the Gemara says, it's a story by Elisha. Elisha came along to feed the Bnei HaNevi'im. He ends up feeding the Bnei HaNevi'im. Then somebody brings down these gifts to give to Elisha, to give to the people. And Elisha's servant says, should we give it to the people? There's not enough. Elisha says, no, Hashem says there'll be enough. So they give it to the people anyway. So in that description, it says that he brought with him, lechem bikurim, the fresh, the new breads, esrim lechem sorim, 20 loaves of barley bread, v'karmel bitzikluno. Now, karmel are the ears, or the fresh ears of corn, or fresh ears of barley. Bitzikluno. Now, bitzikluno, no, the Pashup Shadis probably means in his sack that he brought it. But Yomer Tain Lama Yochedo, and Melisha says, give it to the people and they shall eat. Now the Gemara says, Tziklo no is really not in a sack, but rather a contraction of this.
Bo v'yatzak lanu v'achalnu v'naveh.
So he says, come here, pour out what he gave us, and we'll eat it, and we'll be happy, we'll be satisfied. If you take the letters of the words, for instance, ba or bo is the bet, yatzak is the tzik from the tzik lono, and pour it out before us, lanu is the lamit, and v'achalnu is the vav afterwards, and then naveh, the nun vav, is found in tzik lono. So tzik lono is a contraction of all those words, just like the word Carmel is a contraction of rach and mal. Also, ve'omer, we have another case. There is a case in Mishlei which talks about a mina efet, someone who has an extramarital affair and she's trying to convince the suitor to come to her because her husband's far away. She says, come over, v'nit alasa, and we will delight ba'avim in our loves. So that's what the word is, a delight in our loves. The Gemara says, nit alasa is really a contraction of nasa, v'natan. Let us talk, let us go back and forth. V'na'ala, and then we'll go up into the bed, v'nismach, and we'll be happy, v'nitchateh, and then we will v'nitchateh, let us be mitayel, as Rashi says, chitua here means not necessarily the sin, but also means, let us have wonderful time together, let us have great times together, and let us mitayel, enjoy each other's company. So that's, again, they use the letters from the words to say it's a contraction, which is nasa is the nun in the beginning, natan is the tuf, nale is the ayin lamid, then you have v'nismach as the samach, using the sin over here instead of the, for the samach, and then v'nitchateh is probably the hey at the end. That's a contraction of that sentiment. Bahavim. Let us get together and enjoy and mutually have wonders in our love. Gomer. And another example of this is in Iyov, when it's describing the ostrich. It says, Knaf Rinanim Nalasa, that the Knaf Rinanim, the wings of the ostrich either flap or wave in the sky. That's what the word Nalasa means. So now the Gemara again says that Nalasa is actually a contraction of Nasa or Nosei, Ola, Venitchata. So again, the nun vav from nose is from the nel na, the nun in the beginning there. The ola is probably the ayin lamid. And then nitchata is probably the hey at the end, which means, nasa, he takes the egg, the ostrich takes its egg, va'ola, goes up, v'nitchata, and then it brings it back down, it places it down in a nice manner. Tosos had a different gears in his Gemara, he had umachata instead of v'nitchata, but he says either way, the word chatoy or chateh means to come down and to land the egg safely. And then the last one they bring, v'omer, is from Bamidbar by Bil'am. The Amalach is asking Bilam why did he hit the chamor, and he says that the chamor went out of the way, and then the malach explains to him ki yarat haderech negdi, that your way is perverse before me. The malach says the reason that he's moving out is because I stood in front of him because I don't like what you're doing. So again, the Gemara says yarat is a contraction of yirata, rata, natata. It feared, it saw, and therefore it moved away. That fear caused it to move off the derech. So debay Rabbi Shmuel Tano, Mishael says no, Carmel is not necessarily rach umal, but rather kar malay, like a full pillow or a full mattress. It means that these have to be fully ripened. You can't bring them before they're fully ripened. It means the shells must be completed and they have to be fully ripened. Carmel means don't bring it even though you bring Aviv. Make sure they're still fully ripened even though they're the earliest of the ones that you are bringing. Now the Gemara is going to discuss the Machlokes between Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim and the Mishnah. Rabbi Akiva says you're chayiv in masrot and in challah. Well, why is that? Why does Rabbi Akiva say you're chayiv in masrot? So Rav Kana says, I'll tell you why. I'm Rav Kana, Omer of Rabbi Akiva, Miruach Hekdesh Enu Puter. That Rabbi Akiva believes that when you do the Miruach is done by Hekdesh, you're chayiv in masrot. So truthfully, the answer the Gemara could have given over here is, wait, we never see that the Hekdesh takes off masrot over here. And if they don't take off masrot, they can't use it, because that's mi moter li Yisrael, mi mashke Yisrael. It's something that's muter for any Jew to eat. That's not true here. That could have been the answer. The Gemara has a different answer here, but already you created a problem. Rav Kana says that Rabbi Akiva believes that Hekdesh is not puter for masrot. They have to give masrot. So mate, Rav Sheshet. Wait, the Mishnah says, Moter Shloshim Halalu Mayinosim. What do they do with the remainder? Right, they nifdev and echalu chol adam. They redeem it, and then it's eaten by others. V'chayav b'chala upator min amasrot. And then Rabbi Akiva makes his statement, V'chayav b'chala u'masrot. So it sounds like Rabbi Akiva is making a statement about the residual by the extra, but not about the core part of it. So how can you say over here that Rabbi Akiva believes that imaser is chayav even for Hekdesh? Because he's only saying it about the remainder. He's not saying it about the part of Hekdesh. Parmamalo, potem yad gizbar yochiach, shechayav b'chala He says, I'll prove it to you that that's the case, because anytime you redeem something from the gizbar, it's chayav and chala and pator mina masrot. So if that's the case, v'mita de miruach hekdesh eno puter, if you really believe that miruach of hekdesh is not puter, my kamerle, then what is Rabbi Akiva saying over here at the end? Why is he only talking about the extra, the excess? He should be talking about all the hekdesh itself. Why is he just talking about the part that is nifdeh? So he says, That's the same machlokas. Rabbi Akiva argues across the board. He argues across the board. He thinks that both the stuff that is redeemed, as well as the core part of the omer, all require maser to be taken off it, because hekdish is not patur min maser. Now we have additional questions, which is Rabbi Akiva mechayev bechala ubemaserot ufi shlo nitna ma'ot el tzorch lehen. That Rabbi Akiva, we have explicit braita that tells us that the Rabbi Akiva's reason Rabbi Akiva believes that yachayev maserot is because the money was only given to purchase that which is needed. So here we see that Rabbi Akiva's reason is totally different. It has nothing to do with the fact that Hekdesh is Chayv and Masrot. And that's where the end, Rabbi Yochanan comes along. We reject Rav Kahana's position. Elama Rabbi Yochanan, Talmud Oruchu b'fiv shel Rabbi Akiva. Clear limud in the hands of Rabbi Akiva. Shalom nitna ma'ot el tzorch lehen. The reason Rabbi Akiva says your Chayav is that the monies that were used to purchase the Omer, they were only designated to purchase the part of the Omer that's necessary for the Omer. Any excess does not belong to Hekdesh and was never intended to be for Hekdesh. Therefore, they're almost doing it on behalf of whoever's going to purchase it in the end. And that's why it's not Patur min Masrot. So that's the answer in the end. Why Rabbi Akiva believes you're chayv and masrot? Only the excess piece, not the part that belongs to Hekdesh. He believes that also Hekdesh, if the Hekdesh does the miruach, patur min masrot. But that's only true of the core part of the omer, because that's the only thing that is really Hekdesh, because the money is only designated for that. Ah, what about the pidyon? Tosas asks, wait a minute. Even according to Rabbi Akiva, you have to be poded, the excess piece. So Tosas gives two answers. One possibility is Rabbi Akiva will not require you to be poded. You can get it because the money is only designated for the part that's needed. The excess part is not considered to be Hekdesh. That's one possibility. The other possibility, which is more likely, is that even though technically the monies are only used and nikdash for the omer itself, the excess part, we don't want to just give it away because then people will think that Hekdesh goes out without pidyon. So we make people be poded because it looks like Hekdesh. It isn't Hekdesh, but it looks like Hekdesh. So then we make them poded. But the reason that that's chayv and masrot is because that was not really Hekdesh at any point in time. The monies that were used to purchase the omer only were designated for that omer, the end, the isaron that's going to come out, none of the excess that is there. So Omer Rava says on this, pshitoli demiruach Hekdesh puter. That from this we can conclude that it's clear that everybody agrees that when it comes to Meruach Hekdesh, if the Gmar Malocha, the last thing that you do, finish the processing of the food to make you Chayv and Maser is done in the hands of Hekdesh, Patur, even according to Rabbi Akiva, even according to the Chachamim. And the only reason that Rabbi Akiva is Mechayv is because of this issue that the monies were only spent on the part that they needed, and therefore the rest was on Hekdesh. But he agrees then in general that the Meruach Hekdesh would be Patur. Now, the question that Rabbi has is Miruach Ovid Kochavim Tanahi. When it comes to the Miruach of an Ovid Kochavim, if a non-Jew does the Gemar Malocha, the final process in the making of the Masrot, which is called Miruach, is the flattening out of the pile of the grains after they've been brought in and they've been processed to the point where the kernels are now available to be used and then be taken into the house to be milled. That point, when you do Miruach Akri, when you flatten out the pile on top, that's the Gemar Malocha for Masrot. He says, if that's done in the hand of a non-Jew, that's Machloket Tanayim. Now, when it came to Hekdesh, everybody agrees that you're Patur. When it comes to a Ovid Kochavim, here's a Machloket Tanaim, and he brings us a Braita that shows it, the Tanya. Tormim Mishal Yisrael al Shal Yisrael. You can take off Truma or Masrot from the one Jew on another Jew's produce. Umishal Ovid Kochavim al Shal Bilim, from one non-Jew's produce on another non-Jew's produce. Umishal Kutim al Shal Kutim, or on the Kutim on another kuti, you can do it. You can do it without mixing and matching. They're all on the same level of chiyuv, goy to goy, kuti to kuti, yisrael to yisrael. Therefore, you can separate them. Ooh, and now this is the big statement. Umishel call, I'll show call. Tibi Rabbi Meir, fi Rabbi Yehuda. Meir and Rabbi Yehuda both agree here that you can mix and match. Yisrael, Kuti, Ovid Kochavim are all of the same status. And that means that they're all Chayav and Masrot. That means Miruach of the Ovid Kochavim is Chayav. If I allow you to separate out Masrot from a Goy to Yisrael, Yisrael to a Goy, that means that you think they're on an equal plane of Chiyuv. And that is why they believe, or this side of the Tanaim believe, that Miruach Ovid Kochavim is Chayav and Masrot. On the other hand, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon Omrim, one Jew's produce to another Jew's produce, that you can separate out. You can put Meiser on one on the other. But from an Ovid Kochavim, you can do it to an Akuti, or a Kuti to an Ovid Kochavim. But what you can't do, the last line of Allah, Mishal Yisrael, Shal Ovid Kochavim, Shal Kutim, Lo Shal Me Ovid Kochavim, Shal Kutim, Shal Yisrael. But what you're not allowed to separate out is from a Ovid Kochavim and a Kuti on a Jew's produce, or a Jew's produce on theirs. That tells you that they have a different level of Chiyuv. It must be that these Tanayim believe that Miruach Ovid Kochavim is Hoter, one from Masrot. If that's the case, you're taking on the Potter Me'achayav. Maybe they're Chayav Midrabanon, but the Rabbanon is a different din than Doraita, and therefore you can't mix and match the Masrot from these different levels of produce. Now, Rashi claims over here that this Machlokas Atanaim is premised on Kasavar in Kinyan of the Chavim Beretz Yisrael of Kia Miyad Maser. That a non-Jew, if he owns land in Eretz Yisrael, that's not enough to remove the Chayav Maser from it. Everybody agrees in this Braita that they're Chayav in Masrot. The only question is, is miruach affected. Everybody agrees that the goy has no ownership to be mafkiet, but the question is about the miruach. Tosva says, why don't you say that this whole bright is exactly that machloket? Maybe the machloket here is between whether a goy has a kinyan in Eretz Yisrael in order to take away the masrot or not take it away. How do you know we're talking about miruach? Here's the machloket. So Tosva goes through a number of iterations. At first, he suggests that the two machlokot are actually parallel. That whoever holds that a goy has a kinyan mafkiya in Eretz Yisrael also believes that miruach a goy is patur, and the one who believes that the goy does not have a kinyan to be poter holds that miruach a goy is chayav. Tosfos later rejects that, and in the end comes out to this belief that the two machlokot are really independent. That even according to the one who says that yesh kinyan to a goy to be mafkiya midei masrot in Eretz Yisrael, nevertheless, he can hold like either opinion over here. And that is, of course, according to one who says miruach ha-goy is patur, fine. But even according to the one who says miruach ha-goy is chayav, how can it be miruach ha-goy be chayav if his ownership is already mafkia midei masrot? The answer is, true, that will be with his produce. What happens if a Yisrael gives him the produce? If the Yisrael gives the goy the produce, then we have a question about whether the miruach ha-goy is mechayev or not mechayev. So even though he has kinyan, has the ability to be mafkia midei masrot, we still have a question and still have the possibility that his miruach could be mechayev, even though his ownership will be poter. And that's by the ownership of someone else, the ownership of Yisrael. The same will be true the other way around. According to the one who says, ain kinyan, there's no kinyan for a goy in Eretz Yisrael to mefgiya midei misrot, still his miruach could have either tzad. His miruach could be chayav, or his miruach could be poter. So even though his ownership is not mefgiya, his miruach would be mafkia, and obviously the nafkamir again would be if he owns the produce and that is not strong enough to be mafkia midei masrot, and then a Jew takes it, Yisrael takes it, and he does the miruach, it will be chayav in masrot. So Tosfos in the end says that these two machlokot are really independent of each other. Okay, we'll stop over here and we'll continue with the Gemara tomorrow.